fellow Winnipegger, but someone who's, well, much more legendary than I, Biff Naked, is joining us on the line to talk about the 20th anniversary of Lilith Fair. Hi, Biff.
Hi, I can't believe it's been 20 years.
They say time flies when you're having fun, but yeah, I was 17 years old when the festival happened, but it seems like yesterday.
It seems like yesterday for me, too, and I don't know. I would do it again tomorrow. I thought it was a monumental and wonderful event.
It really was. Now, let's just talk about the history of it, because, you know, some of our younger listeners might not be familiar with it, but this was something that was unheard of at the time, a music festival, really of all female artists, and also it raised a lot of money for charity, of course, but this was, I think, truly the first girl power music movement that we saw.
Absolutely, and I think that what Sarah McLachlan had created when she kind of came up with Lilith Fair was something that really was like a legacy. You know, it was just to be included in it really was validating for me personally as an artist and as a female.
How did you actually get involved then? Was it just as simple as being asked? And
absolutely. I think that we were on tour at the time in the U.S., and I think we were on tour with the Cult, to be honest with you. And so we would jump off the Cult tour and jump onto the dates that we were included in on the Lilith Fair tour, and it was just like night and day
yeah.
as far as the audience goes and, of course, as far as the artists go.
Did anybody think this festival would become so big?
I don't know. You know, I think that it may or may not have received a lot of criticism at the time because basically people are always going to take down the women's festival, and especially at that time in the world, in the late 90s, you know, just the world was not as nice in a way. It wasn't endeavoring to be an inclusive world. It wasn't endeavoring to support those of us who wanted to see a tour with a more of a gender lens that was a safe space for women specifically. And I think now it's more common in our world, and in every city has, you know, kind of different standards, I guess, about what makes a safe and inclusive concert experience. Mm-hmm. But at the time, it was one of a kind.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, not that we get political on our entertainment music show, but certainly we've seen progress for women, but the whole all-inclusive thing has actually sort of taken a step back in many regards for a lot of groups, too, which is sort of sad.
Oh, absolutely. There's so much work to do, and I just think that with the now, you know, Vans Warped Tour and all these other kind of multi-band tours are fading away, that it kind of run their course. I think there needs to be something that is developed that is absolutely inclusive and important and interesting and, of course, entertaining.
Right. And, you know, the legacy of Lilith Fair sort of reminds me, and it's not a great comparison, but it's I'm reaching here. It was like the We Are the World recording. Do you remember that? All those artists came together.
Oh,
you put
absolutely.
Aside... Yeah, whatever...
Absolutely.
And everybody just used their star power for good is kind of what it appeared to be, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and what Sarah had done is she had ensured that all of the artists come on the main stage at the end of every show for the big finale number. And that was an amazing opportunity for many of these young and I guess, up-and-coming artists to be on that big stage.
So that would be one moment that sticks out to you. But do you have maybe like a favorite moment, one that you just think about and go, yeah, that was it?
Oh, yeah, like so many moments. I mean, you know, just being able to be in places like Atlanta, Georgia, and do the press conference that she had in the morning, for example, and all the artists were at a long table. And, you know, it was, you know, you're kind of up there trying to feel like you were peers with some of these other incredible women, but I always felt like a fish out of water. You know, I felt like I was the only girl that wanted a mosh pit at Lilith Fair, but at the same time, like I had mentioned, it was validating, and it really made me feel like I had arrived.
And if there was anybody that deserved a mosh pit at Lilith Fair, it was you, right? I mean...
God bless! Yeah, it would have been... At the time, it was really important to me. You know, as I've As I've grown older and grown up as a performer, I learned a lot from artists like Sarah, and now when I do a ballad, for example, or we do an acoustic show, I definitely have taken many of the lessons from her with me on the stage now.
Is there any artist that you would have hoped participated but just didn't or couldn't at the time?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I think that, you know, at the time, I'm sure that people who were participating obviously were the ones who were available to participate.
Right.
I don't know the whole long list or the wish list that Sarah and the agents may have had, but I can only hope that it would have included, like, I don't know, Otep Shemaya, or like, I don't know, like Belly, or L7, or, you know, some more vocal and political acts.
Yeah. I mean, it really was, it was the who's who of music at the time, but then there were some sort of nice, you know, independent artists that got an opportunity, and so I imagine that platform for them must have been huge.
Oh, absolutely, and also introducing America to a number of artists that, like Beth Orton and stuff like that, you know, it was really, really lovely the way that Sarah curated it.
I guess, yeah, you know what? Canadian music going south of the border at the time, unless you had a big name, maybe you weren't getting those opportunities, right? So I guess things have changed in that regard as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely things have changed with the advent of the internet, of course. And now, it, in one way, it seems like things are always very global. If you drop a song on SoundCloud, they hear it in Finland just like they hear it in South Africa.
And they're hearing it sooner, thanks to the time zones, right?
That's right!
you know, let's talk about what you're working on. Do you have any new music on the go, or what sort of projects do you have?
Oh, absolutely. We've just finished recording another record. And, you know, we're in the mix phase where we try really hard to be perfectionists and get out there what we want to. But I've always been such a lyrics person. And the things that I want to convey, I feel like I said, I can say them acoustically or I can say them with very, 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 very loud guitars, and I still have the same feelings. Other than that, I just finished a book of poetry. I have a work in progress that I've been doing for 2 years, which is a book about cancer and some of the people I've met through the last decade that have been doing their own cancer journeys. And just different tips and experiences that I'm sharing in that book. And, well, now that I'm becoming an adult, I'm starting to eye being a manager.
Oh.
Younger artists. I've been a tour manager for 20 years, tour managing my own tours and the bands that were on my label, Her Royal Majesty's. And now I'm dipping my toe into the management arena, so... That's ever evolving, and it's kind of exciting.
I'm tired just hearing about it. Wow.
Well, you know, it's just like it's a hustle, and it's fun. And once you kind of get into the entertainment industry, whether you're a photographer or an artist or a recording artist, it's like being a criminal. You never get it out of your system.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, you've gone through so much in life, as you mentioned, like with breast cancer and then even just other health troubles, right? A heart surgery and kidney. And, like, how do you find the energy to keep going or the drive to keep going?
Because it's all funny. Honestly, I think that by the time all of us are in our 40s, most of us have been through a lot. And I know for sure there's... a lot of people who've been through way worse things than I have.
Right.
So I kind of knock on wood every day, and I don't know. I hope that I stay healthy the rest of my life, and then everyone else does too. But I'll die trying to.
Absolutely. Oh, and you forgot one thing, that you're a huge animal lover. Come on.
Oh, I love animals so much. Half the time they're nicer than people, and you know, it's easy to advocate for animals. Everybody can agree that animal cruelty is wrong, but it's a matter of trying to get all of the animal rescue rescue organizations some attention, and the animal charities that do just such amazing work, really. I try my best to just try and promote charities that I love.
And I know that you're all over social media, so that's a great place for people to keep in touch, right?
Absolutely. Instagram is loads of fun. And I've been on Twitter since 2009, so they can find me at Beth Naked.
All right. Well, we'll be sure to check in. And you know what? We should coordinate our schedules. Next time we're both in Winnipeg, let's get together, okay?
Oh, I would love that. Winnipeg has been my favorite place.
Did you get to the city often or no?
Well, yes. My mother broke her hip last year, so I've been there 5 times. This year alone.
Oh boy! All right. Well, we'll get together on better terms. You know what? We'll go out. We'll go out with mom, maybe dancing when she's fully recovered, right?
Oh, from your mouth to God's ears.
Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
Oh well, you know we've got to wrap this up. But Biff, I could talk to you all day. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jeremy. Have a great summer.